The prophets had grasped a part of the mind of God. Jesus was the mind of God, materialized for men to behold and contemplate.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
The supreme revelation, and I believe that is what the author of Hebrews has in mind in verses 1, 2, and 3 of the opening chapter of his book. The God of the Bible is a God of initiative. He's always taking the initiative. He's always condescending. He's always reaching down. He's always meeting needs. He's always deeply committed to touching our lives and to blessing them. And it seems to me that there are at least three significant areas in which God always takes the initiative. Number one, in creation. He created us. Obviously, he took the initiative there. Number two, in revelation. He communicated with us. Not only did he create us, he spoke to us. He communicated with us. Number one, in creation, he created us. Number two, in revelation, he communicated with us. And then number three, in salvation, he came for us. There's nothing quite like the message of the gospel, which teaches us, in effect, that our Savior came for us. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. In one way or another, all three of those powerful ingredients in which God took the initiative, in creation, in revelation, and in salvation, in one way or another, all three of those ingredients are unfolded for us in Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 to 3. But the emphasis in that passage is upon the second of those ingredients. It's upon revelation. And we're taught in this passage that God has communicated with us. God has spoken. I remember reading not too long ago about a man from Leeds, England, who visited his doctor to have his hearing checked. He couldn't hear people speak very well. The doctor removed the man's hearing aid, and the patient's hearing improved dramatically and immediately. And the reason was, and this is supposed to be a true story, the reason was that for some 20 years he'd been wearing it in the wrong ear. He was deaf in this ear and plugging up the good ear. And I think there's a sense in which sometimes God must be saying to us, I wonder if you aren't deaf, spiritually deaf and insensitive to what I'm saying. I think sometimes God must be saying that to us. I've spoken. I've spoken in the Scriptures, and I've spoken in the incarnate Son of God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the supreme revelation. He's my final word. I have spoken. But I wonder, God might be saying, is there anybody listening? Is there anybody really hearing what I'm saying? I think there is a difference, by the way, between listening and really hearing. There are many of God's people who listen academically to God's Word. We can become encyclopedic in our knowledge of the Bible. We can pile up reams of material in this marvelous computer we call our brain, which God has created. But sometimes I wonder if we're really hearing. I think sometimes God may think that. That's why Jesus often cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." It's one thing to listen academically to God's Word. It's another to really hear the Word of God and respond to it and become a doer of God's Word. So Hebrews begins with the truth of God's revelation in both the written Word and in the living Word, in the Scriptures and in His Son. And I would suggest that you and I ought to have, this is something we ought to have, you and I ought to have a reverence for and an ear attuned to what God has said, both in the Scriptures and in the incarnate Son of God. You and I ought to have a reverence for and an ear attuned to what God has said. There are two facets of God's revelation presented in Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 to 3. And God is saying, I want you to listen to what I've said, not only with your head, but with your heart, not only academically, but spiritually. I want you to be responsive. I want you to be not only a hearer, but a doer of my words. And then he gives us two facets of his revelation presented in this passage. First, very simply in terms of the outline, it seems to me that these two facets could be identified in this way. Number one, there's the former revelation. That's verse 1. There is what we might call the former revelation. Verse 1, God who at sundry times and in divers manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. There is the former revelation. And then, secondly, there is the final revelation. And that's what God has to say, or that's what God unfolds in verses 2 and 3. And he's spoken to us finally and ultimately and completely in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as revealed in the pages of Scripture. Now, in terms of the former revelation in verse 1, there are really two ideas there that I think are significant. Number one, it's personnel. God spoke by the prophets. That's the personnel of that former revelation. And then the properties of that former revelation in sundry times and in divers manners or in many parts and in many ways. Two Greek words side by side, meaning in many parts and in many ways. That would be the properties of that former revelation. I think the prophets is probably a reference to the entire body of authors who conveyed the Word of God in the Old Testament documents. Probably it's to be understood in the widest sense of the term. And these were men who were cherished. These were men who were cherished and they were respected in the Old Testament era by the Jewish populace, and they're cherished and respected by us as well. They were believed to be in the secret counsels of God. In fact, Amos could say, the Old Testament prophet Amos could say, surely the Lord will do nothing. God won't make a move, Amos said. Surely the Lord will do nothing but or unless he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. But as great as these men were, and as greatly blessed as they were of God, and as greatly used as they were of God, they could never compare to Jesus Christ. The prophets were the friends of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He has a very special, unique message to convey to us. The personnel, the prophets. Its properties, do you notice? At sundry times and in divers manners, in many parts and in many ways. Palumeros, palutropos, those are the Greek words, side by side. It means literally, in many parts and in many ways, God spoke in the Old Testament economy through his prophets. That means that the former revelation was fragmentary and that it was incomplete. That's literally what it means. It was fragmentary and it was incomplete. It was true. There was nothing wrong with it. It was absolutely true, but it was not final. When one prophet had finished speaking and when another prophet had finished speaking and when you put the whole composite body of literature together, there was still something that needed to be said. There still remained something else that ought to be said. When Jesus Christ came, there was nothing left to be said. His was a total message. When we talk like this, the authority or the character of the Old Testament is in no way jeopardized by such a statement. Only the amount and the completeness of that revelation are being dealt with when we talk like this. Most of the Old Testament prophets were characterized by only one idea. As you read their documents, you find out that they had one basic message which God had revealed to them at a specific point in time to address a specific need or problem at that time. For example, Amos, the prophet Amos, the whole book of Amos was a cry for theocratic justice. Isaiah is the prophet of God's holiness. He had a part of God's truth. Hosea unveiled the wonder of God's forgiving love. And he unveiled that message out of the crucible of his own terrible experience with his wife, Gomer. Each of the prophets had grasped, experienced, and expressed fragments of the truth of God. None had grasped the whole round orb of the truth. But with Jesus, it was different. Jesus was not a fragment of the truth. He was the whole truth. The Bible says he was full of grace and truth. John 1 and verse 14. In him God displayed not some part of himself, but all of himself. the heart and the mind and the will of God were fully expressed when deity was translated into humanity by Jesus Christ. The prophets had grasped a part of the mind of God. Jesus was the mind of God, materialized for men to behold and contemplate. Something very special about God's final word through the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have, first of all, the former revelation, a beautiful, a powerful message, a true message, but fragmentary and incomplete until the Lord Jesus Christ came. Then you have the final revelation, and that final revelation is unfolded in verses 2 and 3. And as I look at those verses, there are two ideas that stand out to me. Number one, there's a contrast here. Very simply, just at the beginning, there is a contrast. And then secondly, there is a characterization, and it's a sixfold characterization of the Son of God, God's final word to humanity. There is, first of all, a contrast. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by Son. Do you notice in the King James Version, his is italicized? It means it's not there in the Greek New Testament. He has spoken unto us by Son. The word Son is anarthros. That means it's without the definite article. It emphasizes the quality of sonness. I remember Dr. Donald Wise, when I was a student at Bible Institute years ago, taking Greek in the Chicago area. He would always say, the presence of the article identifies, the absence of the article qualifies. It puts the accent on the quality of a certain entity, whatever is being described. Here, the word son is without the article, and it's emphasizing the quality of sonness. God's final revelation, God's ultimate word to humanity, is a son revelation, and it stands in open contrast and in infinite superiority to the revelation which came through the mortal prophets. God did speak through the mortal prophets, and each of them had something significant and powerful and relevant to say, but God spoke finally and ultimately through his own Son. And there is no comparison between a mortal prophet and the Son of God. It means that Jesus Christ is God's final word to humanity, and it means that his coming is an act of incredible condescension and unconquerable love. God loved us so much, he sent his own Son into the world, and he brought with him a message. He personified that message. He is the personification of truth, and every utterance from his lips is nothing other than a proclamation of truth. So he gives that contrast. God in the former days spoke by the prophets, but he has in these last days spoken unto us in a Son revelation. So what do we learn in Hebrews 1:1-3? We learn that Jesus Christ is the supreme revelation. The prophets may have been the friends of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The prophets may have grasped a part of God's mind. Jesus Christ was God's mind, materialized for us to behold and contemplate.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively,
the power the property, the prosperity, and the people of the globe shall all belong ultimately to Jesus Christ.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.